Amen, amen, amen. Jesus will fix it. Hallelujah.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Don't make no difference how broke it is, he'll fix it.
Yes, amen. He will.
Glory.
Oh, yes, he will.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He will fix it.
He's a
fixer. Yeah.
Thank you.
And the good part of the song say he'll fix it for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whatever you got going on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to go right on and take it up a little higher. We had said this past week was a unique, unusual week. And seems like every time you turn it up another notch on the spiritual high end, the enemy rears his ugly head from another direction. Amen. But the good news is that he has already lost. Amen. And the victory is already yours. Amen.
Oh, yes it is.
So we're going to go right ahead. As the Lord has put his message in my spirit for this occasion. Amen. And we're going to ask you to read along with us. Just a few verses from the Psalms, number 16. Going to look at verses 7 to 11 from the KJV. And then also some verses out of the Epistle to the Philippians in the New Testament. Y'all know y'all thinking what I'm going to say, right? Yes, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Amen. Philippians 1, 3 through 11. Just a few verses from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Amen. So let's just read this Psalms number 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reign also instruct me in right night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. We've read Psalms 16, 7 to 11. Now Philippians chapter number 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think of this of all you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things which are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. We read the word of the Lord. To the people of the Lord, may God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. And as we have already discussed, I want to talk about being empowered for the rugged road. Amen. Empowered for the rugged road. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for another day's journey. Lord God, and we just ask that you be exalted today, oh God. We ask that you be lifted up today, Lord. Yes. That you be praised today, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That you be lifted higher in our minds and in our spirits. Yes. Father, we thank you for the privilege to lift you up and exalt your name. We ask you to bless in the sanctuary today, oh God. Help us clear our minds of anything that may be coming against our thought process today. Yes. Lord God, just let us just sit here and marinate in your word today. Help us to be soaked in the truth, oh God.
Yes.
From the outside and from the top of our head, even to the soles of our feet.
Yes.
Oh God, we ask that you just let your word permeate our spirits today,
please.
Lord God. We need you today, Father, like not at any other time, oh God. Because things have been tough for some of us throughout the week, Lord. But we know you've been with us. And so we have endeavored to see you no matter what's going on. That you open our eyes that we might see you, Lord. In every event, every affair, every up, every down, every trial, every tribulation. Everything, oh God, that's going on in our lives. Help us to never be separated from your presence, Lord God. And the very fact that you have said that you would be with us always. Even to the end of the world. So, Lord God, we ask you today, come in the midst. Help us get the understanding we need that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes what we see is kind of not good, Lord God. But we know that you are there. That you said you would never leave us.
Never.
Nor forsake us. And so, Father, help us to understand that today. Help us to be empowered for the rugged road, oh God. We ask this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. To him be the glory, majesty, and dominion and power right now in the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We sang a song, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Yeah.
Lord, not the eyes on my head here, but open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. And so basically, this is what we have to do. When times of trouble come, and the Lord told us that. Remember that in John 16:33? He said, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. We always have to remember that. That's a verse I memorized because it helps me on so many days. When I think about Jesus saying, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So when trouble comes, it's no stranger.
Right.
Shouldn't be any stranger to you because it's just the process of everyday life.
That's it.
There's going to be trouble. The Lord says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Now, we don't like that. That's not kind of a negative promise. But that's what he said, right? He said, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That means trouble and difficulty. The road won't be smooth and everything all fine. There's going to be some ruggedness, some roughness on the road. The straight and narrow is a rugged road.
Yes.
If you're trying to do things according to God's word, it's pretty tough. But he said, don't worry about it. Because these things I have spoken to you, that's what his word is, his spoken word, that in me you might have peace. So your peace doesn't come from the world. Doesn't come from your bank account.
Right.
Doesn't come from the circumstances around you.
Right.
Doesn't come from the good things or the bad things. Doesn't come from the opinions of other people.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the Lord. See, our circumstances are allowed by God, and he uses them to shape us.
Amen.
And to mold us.
Amen.
You see. And so it's difficult sometimes when you're on the road that leads to life. That's why Jesus said that we should strive to enter at the straight gate. For broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be who go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that finds it, because you got to press your way through. See, and the road is rough. It's not a smooth road. It's a rough road. Now, there are times we have smooth things go on in our life. Those don't bother us so much. We don't need to be girded up for that. But when there's trouble coming in,
yes,
that's when we need to be in touch with God and realize that when the road gets rough, somebody said when the road gets tough, the tough get going. You see what I'm saying? And so we want to know when the road is rough that the Lord is with me in this process.
Amen.
And you know what? He promised you that. So this is why we have to learn to allow the promises of God to give us the power we need at the time that we need it when we're going through trials. Sometimes trials come from within. They don't all come from without. Sometimes you got a controversy in yourself and your own mind that needs to be dealt with. The Lord says, I'm not going to abandon you even in that. And the psalmist picked up on it. This is why I wanted to show you what he said here. Just wanted to grab something. There's so many places we could go in the Old Testament and see this. But this Psalm 16 was put in my spirit for this message. He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. See that? I must bless you and speak you of you and your mercies and your grace and your forgiveness and your advice, the counsel that you give me.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is counsel.
Yes.
It tells us how we
Amen.
Should respond in all situations and at all times.
Amen.
My reins instruct me. In other words, the internal guide. Reins are what you use to guide a horse and get him to go where you want him to go. You put reins on him.
Amen.
He says, my reins also instruct me in the night season. So you've given me some things to control my life, my emotions, my mind, my will, by your counsel, and I can take control even when I would want to flip out. Maybe this is a circumstance that would drive me close to the edge. This might drive me to drink, if somebody's here, and I might not want to drink. I might have gotten past that stage in my life. I don't want to have to go run to something else to numb my situation. I want to be able to grab the reins of God, who said, I will be with you even in trouble. See, I want to go the right way when I come to a trial that presses me from the inside and from the outside. Instruct me in the night seasons, he says here. I have set the Lord always before me. See that? Because he is at my right hand. And I shall not be moved. That's the thing you got to realize. God makes us and gives us stability. We don't have to be pushed around and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, or by the world, or by who's in the White House, or who's in the Kremlin, or who's in the City Hall, or who's over in Korea. We don't have to worry about that. The Lord says, I am the God of the whole heaven and earth. He says, if you trust me, I got this. This is paraphrase, of course. God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. You may not really get a grip on what I'm telling you, but trust me even when you don't have a grip. Even when you don't understand it. Lean not unto your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge me. See, keep God in the midst, like the psalmist said, I'm going to bless the Lord who has given me counsel. See, he's instructed me on what I should do. Even in the night seasons when I'm going through a dark time, I've set the Lord always before me.
Yes.
See, let him guide you and lead you and illuminate the way for you.
Amen.
He says, I've hidden my word in you, your word in my heart, he said in one, the Psalm 119, that I might not sin against you. See, keep the word, the counsel of God always in your mind and in your heart, and it will protect you and take you through the difficult times. Now he says here, because he is at my right hand. We use that phrase kind of today, we throw it around in the society, that this is my right hand man. In other words, I trust him with everything, because he's right here with me. Whenever I have a need, he's there. So he is at my right hand that I shall not be moved. See, somebody else may want you to move or get moving or move you out of your place, but God says, I'm with you and I'm your rock. I'm right there, so you don't have to be moved. You don't have to let anything else overwhelm you, because I'm here with you to sustain you. He said in Psalm 91, he will be with you in trouble. Didn't he say
yes.
that? You know, think about that. Even though he says there's a terror in the daytime and an arrow that flies by night, all these things threatening, I am with you in trouble. And I'm going to lead you and guide you. But look on here in this psalm here. I'm not trying to cover too many. I just want to remind you of some. Therefore, my heart is glad.
Yes.
See that? And my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, these other things are internal. My heart and my glory. These are internal attitudes that people have. But then he says, my flesh, that's my body, shall also rest in hope. Because God has promised me that he will take care of the critical things in my life. Not only that, but everything. He said, I'm with you in everything you're dealing with. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's what he says, right? So when you're going through a difficult time, guess what? He is right there. You need to set the Lord always before you and at your right hand. Realize he is your right hand man, and you shall not be moved. He's not going to move you off the path. You're going to continue to be able to travel. You're going to be empowered to travel the rugged road that he has set before you. Now notice this, he says here, moving on, just to pick a few thoughts out of this. For thou will not leave my soul in hell. You've covered me all the way to the end. Now some people translate this Hades, or Hades if you will. And in other words, that's the place or the abode of the dead. He said, but you're not going to leave me there.
Malo.
Even when I leave here, you got a plan for me.
Yes, he does.
Even after that. You see what I mean? Yes. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now, this is actually a messianic psalm.
Yes, it is.
The person who actually this was applied to, Peter did over in the New Testament, the book of Acts, in a sermon, is Jesus. David wrote it. Peter reminded the Jews that the patriarch David is dead and in his grave and right. He said, but this spoke of the Messiah who would come, who was Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, who came and got out of the grave. He did not even suffer corruption because it was only 3 days and nights and he got up with all power. So this is a messianic psalm, we call this. In other words, about the Christ, the Messiah. But thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. See that? Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's that road that we're on to travel. There is a path of life. You see that? And thy presence is fullness of joy. So if I keep the Lord at my right hand, he says here at thy right hand, or there are pleasures forevermore. See that?
Yeah.
So if I keep God's, my perspective right about who God is, about what God has promised, about the fact he adopted me out of the family of people who didn't believe. He gave me faith to believe that he has my back. He gave me faith to know that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He gave me faith to believe that he will prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. He said, not only is he going to give you a little, but my cup runneth over. And so God has prepared your life and given you the counsel that you need to keep me in your mind when you're going down the rugged road. Because the road is going to be rough. God didn't say, I'm going to take the rugged road away from you. He said, I'm going to be with you as you travel the rugged road. I'm going to give you my grace and my favor, my mercy. I'm going to supply all you need, he said, as you travel the road. But that's why Jesus said, I reiterate again, John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. See, God puts the straight truth out to us. He said, you're going to have some trouble. Why? Because a whole lot of folk in the world don't believe me. A lot of folk out there say I don't exist. There's folk out there say they hate me. There's folk out there say something else is God. So the world is not going to be an easy place. You know, but I have given you an anointing and a mission to the world.
Yes.
And I want them to know that I am the true God. And I have given my son. He did defeat the grave. He got up with all authority and all power. And I fixed it where they really can't deny it. They may want to say they do, but how you gonna explain that calendar? That 2017, y'all know I like to talk about that. That's about Jesus. It's not about anybody else. So that calendar is telling you, not only me, not only the Bible, not only the rest of the witnesses of God, the calendar is telling you God's only begotten Son came into the world. He's the most significant person on the planet. And I don't care who's in the White House. I go back to that again. See, a lot of times we worry about policy and doctrine coming down from out of Washington and what's going to happen to us. You know what? And what's going to happen to you is what God wants to happen to you.
That's right.
I don't care how tough they make the road. The Lord said, I am with you. Always, even to the end of the world. So they can do whatever they want to. I want to get that out your mind. Push that all to the back burner. Realize that the King of Kings sits up over all of them. And that's the one who you're engaged with, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
So they may think they all that in a bag of chips. But don't worry about that. Don't let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said, right? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He takes you to the chase. Cuts you to the chase. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He the only one could have told you. You know why? You're the only one been there. And he came down here in order to let you know you don't need to be worried. And so basically we see here that no matter how the road is, the word of God empowers me and you to be able to travel that road. Even though the road is rough, he said, keep me ever before you. Keep me in your mind. Remember my counsel. Remember my word. And I'm going to give you the strength you need to make it through. And so this is very, very important in that. And I noticed this week that it was a very unusual week. We went out and gave praise to God last week in the park. We had a high spiritual time out there. We just lift up high praise and folks were blessed. blessed. And folk walking through came in saying, well, you know, I never have heard anybody out here with any gospel out in this part and stuff like that. And we said, well, thank God, we're glad you came through. So it was a good thing.
Yes.
And then this week got a little ugly with different stuff. We start seeing it. It starts seeping in a little the week before. And the closer we get walking the path of God, the more we can expect trouble.
That's right.
That's the way it goes.
That's how it goes.
See? And so we need to be empowered for when those times come.
That's right.
We need to know that we can stand no matter what happens.
Amen.
And the opposition hates the fact that you're moving closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
See? But Jesus said, don't worry about that. You shall have tribulation in the world. But be of good cheer. Wow, I like that term. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world.
My Lord.
See? And so that's where you and I are. Salvation is a complete new life, beginning with being born again or born from above, as we say, and continuing on through all the days of your life.
Yes.
And impacting every area of your life, making the saved ones involved in constant improvement toward Christ-likeness.
My Lord.
You know, look what Jesus went through. You think if you were God and you came out of heaven, people should roll out the red carpet for you.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't you think? They should come and serve you. And some people did. But you know what? Most of them came and said, who do you think you are? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Who gives you your authority?
Yep.
Hey, you messing with our mix over here. We got this whole temple going on over here. And you came down here to distract what we're doing.
Wow.
And you're breaking the Sabbath and you're not keeping the rules. And they had all kind of stuff.
Yes, they did.
To say about God, which God had told them, I'm coming into your life. And that's what this messianic psalm is about. He came right on schedule.
Yes.
Exactly when he said he would. Came to his own, John says, but his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, that's you who believe, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God or the children of God, even those that believe on his name.
Yes.
See? And so basically, you come into a new family.
Yes.
Salvation begins when you trust Christ.
That's right.
And that's what the Bible calls being born again or born from above.
Yes.
You believe Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior that God promised.
That's right.
He is the one who defeated death, hell,
Amen.
And the grave. He's the one the world is configured around.
Amen.
He's the one that loves you so much that he gave his own life
Amen.
To suffer, hang, bleed, and die in order to make you right, even though we're not.
Amen.
See, he came to cover godless sinners who had no hope without him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so he did that of his own free will, his own volition.
Amen.
And he also did it to fulfill the word that God had given. So it's very terribly important that you understand that.
Yes.
Even when trouble is in your life, and there will be trouble, the Lord has promised. The road's going to be tough. He said, but don't you worry about it. Be of good cheer.
Yes.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, the psalmist said. Neither be ye envious of the workers of iniquity.
Yes.
For they shall soon be cut off, he said. See, they're going to be cut off. You just keep watching. He said, only with thine eyes shalt thou see the recompense of the wicked.
Yes.
It's coming up. The people who are trying to do wrong and turning back on God, you're going to watch with your own eyes and see them come be taken out. Just don't be part with them. That's what he said. Look out for that. Be ready to walk the rugged road, but by faith. Now keep this in mind as we transition. I'm going to try to get this to you in as many of the less of a time as I can here. Philippians, Paul, the apostle who hated the church originally. The one who said, all those hypocrites, I got to get down there and shut that thing down. He went to the government, got all kinds of papers and everything. Went to the Sanhedrin. That was the council of the so-called religious people. So I'm going to go down there and shut it down. It's got to go. And then, of course, you know what happened on the Damascus Road. We talked about that. He saw Christ himself.
Yeah.
Appeared to him in a light so bright it was brighter than the sun.
Mama.
Y'all talking about don't look up unless you got the right glasses to see the eclipse. Paul saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. Wow, can you imagine that? The sun shining in its strength. And the light of Jesus overshadowed it where it was just so bright it was brighter than the sun.
Mama.
I'm talking about eclipse. He got eclipsed with Jesus getting in his light. Your dirty, dark, ugly light, Paul. And he fell from his beast to the earth.
Yeah.
And he said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? He's groping in the darkness. And notice is the Lord. Because who else could be brighter than the sun? Wow, think about that. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That that road, he was on his way down to Damascus, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. To a street called Straight is where he ended up. He was on his way to do destruction to the church. Mm-hmm. But Jesus got him straight on the road. Uh-huh. And he let him know that I am Jesus of Nazareth who you are persecuting. Yeah. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, in other words, I got a way for you to go, but it's hard for you to see what it is. Mm-hmm. He said, well, Lord, what will you have me to do? Yeah. He said, go on down there to Damascus, exactly where you was going. You thought you was going to do destruction to my church. But you get down there, I got a mission for you. Somebody in my church is down there waiting to tell you what you ought to do.
That's right.
Ananias, regular off-the-shelf Christian. Not an apostle. Go down there to anybody in my church. They know what the policy is. That is that they're the ones that have to tell you what to do to be saved. So you're going to break them up, but they're going to tell you what you do need to do to be right with God. And I've prepared him. He's already seen you coming in a vision. So this one here is the writer of this letter. I just want to remind you. And he says, I thank my God. Now he's converted. Turn around 180 degrees from the way he was.
Yes.
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You Philippians. I thank God for you. I thought you hated him and you was going to destroy him. But no, I thank God. 180 degree turnaround.
Yes.
Upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine. See that? For you all making requests with joy. I'm telling God everything I think you need.
Mm-hmm.
See, all the time. Always praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what the pastor does here. I'm always thinking about each of you individually.
Yes.
As I go through my day.
Yes.
I think about what I know about what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the stuff that I've heard that you're going through.
Yes.
I think about how you might feel in that situation.
Yes.
And I'm constantly saying, Lord, help this one with this. Help that one with that.
Bravo.
Going through the day. Constantly thinking about you. Because I know God is working on your life.
Yeah.
And I know the road is rough.
Yeah.
But he said, I will be with you in trouble. I'll be with you always.
Always.
Even to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So he said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you.
Never.
Whatever you're going through, don't think for one second that I'm not there.
Right.
I'm in the middle of everything you're dealing with.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Now Paul says he's praying for these Philippians. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So you know what? When we got born again, our life changed.
Amen.
We start to see the world based on the truth, the facts of the gospel.
Amen.
That this is God's message to the world.
Yeah.
He has selected me to be a part of it.
Yeah.
He has selected me to be on the team that wins.
Yeah. That's right.
Not on the losing team. I'm on the team that wins. I'm on the team that's already declared winner.
That's right.
You've already won. That's why we sang that victory is mine. Because I already know I have won. I'm not on the losing team, the one fighting against God. I'm on the winning team. The road might be rough, but I know where it leads.
Yes.
I know how it comes out.
Amen.
Notice what he says here. Verse 6, one of my, I'm not going to say it's my favorite verse in the Bible, but I have to say it. But this one kind of encapsulates all the last messages that we've been preaching here for the last several weeks. Being confident. This one who was first confident, you all are a bunch of hypocrites and you got to go, who trust Jesus. But now I am confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now you know what that says? Think through this one. We talked about progressive sanctification, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
That means that once God saves you,
yes.
I'm turning your life around another direction.
Yes.
And it says he is not going to leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
So in other words, whatever you're going through,
yes.
I'm going to be in the midst of it.
Yes.
Yes.
My Lord.
Yes.
Who's doing the work? God is doing the work.
Yes.
Paul said, for it is God who is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Right.
See, he moves in. He doesn't leave it up to the preacher. I'm glad he doesn't, because I'm not all that heavy that I can handle all that stuff that everybody is dealing with. He moves in. I'm coming in. When you trust my son, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mama.
I'm moving right in to take up residence in you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Okay.
You know, and I'm happy to be a part of the process, to be one who reminds you what God said.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be a part of the process, one who prays for you to attain the victory that God has put in you.
Yes.
But you know, it is God who is in you, he says, both to willing to do of his good pleasure. He knows each one of you specifically.
Yes, he does.
He knows every struggle that you're going through. He knows everything you're dealing with, good, bad, or ugly. And you're like, he loves you anyway. And the only reason he loves you is because you trust Christ. And you believe that God raised him from the dead. That's why it says John 16:27. Read that one. That's the reason God loves you. If you want a reason, people ask me, I just tell them John 16:27. Read that for yourself. He loves you because you believe that he sent Jesus to save you.
Amen.
There it is. Whoever believes him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Everlasting life is not about when you die and you go to the grave by and by. It's about every day, every second of your life, from the time you're saved on through. That's what it says here in verse 6. This one who hated the church says he's now confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. That same one who began the work is performing it.
Amen.
He's in you. He will not fail.
No.
He cannot fail. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what kind of stuff I'm going through. You don't know what kind of sin I'm struggling with. You don't know what kind of difficulty I have in my life. I don't need to know. The Spirit of God is in you. He is going to continue the work he started. He's going to do it all the way to the day of Jesus Christ. When is that? That's the second return when Christ comes back. Will I be ready when Christ comes back? Yes, you will if you believe now. If you trust him right now, you will be ready. Because he is performing the good work. He started the good work. Guess what? He's going to finish the work. And when he does, you're going to be victorious. Because he starts it and he doesn't start a job he can't finish. So where am I right now? Oh, no, I'm struggling with this, that, or the other. Tell it to the Lord. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe we're not getting clean because we're not confessing. I'm not confessing. If I don't tell God that it's sin, then he's not going to cleanse me. You know what? The Spirit is teaching you what is sin and what's not. He's teaching you. He's showing you the difference between the clean and the unclean. And he's doing that so you can pray and ask God. He's not an intruder. I'm not going to intrude into your world. But if you invite me in, talk to me about what you're dealing with, I'm going to fix you. I have everything you need.
Amen.
And I'm coming in right now because you believe in my son. It's the only reason. No other reason. You can't get in by good works. We did that a few weeks back, Titus 3:5. Not by deeds of righteousness which we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. See, and the Holy Spirit is the one who has taken up that job of cleaning up a dirty vessel. I've covered it so God doesn't see it. That's the blood of Jesus. I've eclipsed you, as I told y'all a week or two ago. Covered you where I don't see none of that filthiness coming from any of you. Jesus is all I see. And on the inside, the Holy Spirit is in there throwing out stuff and pulling in good stuff, and he's fixing it up. And he started the work. Guess what? He's going to finish it. That's what I want you to know. Don't let the devil or the flesh tell you, well, you know, look what you're still, the stuff you're still dealing with. God knew it. He knew it already. He knows it every second. But he will finish the work. He will continue, it says here, to perform it. He who began the good work in you will perform it. See that? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm confident of this. That's something you need to do. Maybe you need to be confident that if Christ saved you, he's going to finish the work.
Yes.
Notice verse 7 again. Even as it is meet for me to think. In other words, it's just right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds, he's locked up in the jail writing this. This is amazing to me, really. In the prison, writing the epistle of joy. Come on now. You think he'd be saying, get me out of here right now, help me. No, he's saying, God started the work in you, and he's going to finish it.
Yes, he is.
Working on me too. I got a state of peace because I know that I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ.
Model.
I'm in here just so I can have time to pen this letter to let you know God got your back.
Yes, he has.
Notice that he says here, inasmuch as in my bonds and in my defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. I got grace to dispense to you.
Yes.
Because God has sent me out to tell people that there is grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense.
That's it.
God says that's G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense.
That's right.
He paid the bill so he can give you the riches of God. See that? And the confirmation of the gospel. We know it's true. Why? Because it works. I can see what the gospel does. How can you get ex-dope addicts and ex-whoremongers and ex-offenders of every sort all to gather together on a Sunday morning and give God praise? The gospel works. How can you get ex all the whatever ex we are, fill in the blank? And we know God is worthy to be praised.
He's worthy.
And he's there to give us comfort in all that we're dealing with. So God the Holy Spirit, whom God supplies to each and every believer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is always working within you to get all things, to get you, to get all things about which he is concerned running in a way he has desired and that will ascribe glory to his name. That's what God's doing in each of our lives. He's working stuff out so that when it's all done, he gets the glory.
Yes.
He gets the praise.
Amen.
We have nothing to boast about.
Nothing.
That's why Paul says Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved. Through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about but him and what he's doing in our lives. So Paul says, for God is my record or my witness, some translations say, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In other words, the passion and the compassion of Christ. He says, I long to be with you, but I'm not complaining or worried. I just want you to know how much I care for you. And this I pray, that your love may abound, let it grow yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Keep on going the way you're going. God is with you in that process. Wherever you're at, no matter what you're going through, keep on going. He said that ye may approve the things that are excellent. Now, in other words, he's depending on your own discernment and your own judgment. I'm improving your judgment and your discernment so you know what's good and you know what's bad.
Amen.
I'm fixing you so you can think and discern from the inside what's good and what's acceptable and what's right. And how can I do things God's way and not my own way? Or is this a thing from God or is this a thing from the flesh?
All right.
Or is it a thing from the devil? Is it the man trying to do this or is it God doing it? God is giving you discernment to figure things out and work it all together for his good and his glory. He's not forcing you to do it, but he's showing you a clear black and white difference between what's right and what's wrong. So you know how to proceed. Okay, then he says, verse 10, that ye may approve the things that are excellent. See that? That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. There's fruit from the righteous way God is teaching you, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So like the psalmist, we must keep our confidence in the fact that the promises of God shall surely come to pass.
Yes, he will.
He himself is the one who started the good work, and he is the one who shall continue to do so even until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm just going to close with this. Back there in Genesis 28, you'll read, I think it's about Jacob who wrestled with an angel all night long. And it says he told him, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's the way God is. And he wrestled with him all night long. See, and day was about to break. He said, let me go. And he said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. See, that's the way God is. I'm not going to let you go. I'm holding on to you. I'm going to bless you with what you need. You're going to find everything that you're working for, the work things you're thinking of. As you go down the rugged road of life, you've been empowered to have victory. So don't give up on it. You know what the flesh will tell you? Hey, you ain't going to ever get past this. The devil want to say that too. You know you like that. You're riding to the core. Well, that's true, but Jesus died. His blood is cleansing me. His resurrection is empowering me. He gives me the ability where we can say, like Paul says later on in chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, he's strengthening me and I can stand being in the prison. No problem to me. I'm not whining about war. want y'all to come get me out. No, I'm concerned about you, the church.
Mm-hmm.
The called out ones.
Mm-hmm.
That you be blessed.
Yes.
That you understand that you don't let God go. You hold on no matter what you're
hold
going through.
Hold on.
You don't see one little bit of a whining or a pity party from Paul.
Nope.
He's locked down and he writes the epistle known to the whole world now as the epistle of joy.
Mm-hmm.
While being confined in a filthy prison cell.
Yeah.
See? And he said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, we want you to be saved. Our purpose as the church is to call men, women, boys, and girls to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's only gospel because it's the best news in the world.
Yeah.
Do you know you can be made completely right? And it's a matter of just one decision makes the difference in your whole life. Do you trust what God has done, what he has provided? He's given his son, configured time and the whole world around him. See, so you can be saved. That's the purpose. Jesus came, that's why the Bible simplifies it in one verse that's probably the most well known of all the verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Right.
See, that whosoever, that means there's no caveat. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be a certain thing, a Gentile, no matter who you are. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. In other words, be under the judgment of God in the second death. God has delayed actual death until a time in the future. People die physically, but the second death will be permanently.
Yes, it
will. See? So he said that's for people who don't believe. Unbelievers will be cast there. We read that a couple of lessons back. That's why I said this lesson is kind of a nutshell and a conclusion to some of the other ones that we have preached in the last few days.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure you're saved. That's our purpose. We want you to know God loves you just like you are. And if you trust him today, put your life in his hands. Tell him that you love him back. And you shall be saved.
Yes.
It's a very simple contract, but you have to make it. No one can do it for you. But you have to come of your own free will, because God doesn't force people to believe. But if you believe, tell him that. The Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Very simple. So we give you that space right now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word today, Father. We know that the road can be rough, that there will be pits and shortfalls and all kinds of things that come along this road of life. But Father, you have promised that you would be with us to empower us no matter what we're going through, that no matter how grim a situation might look, that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, somebody here today may not have understood the gospel, the good news that they can't do anything to save themselves. But you have done everything to save them, and you make that available. You've given us the privilege to preach it in all the earth. So anybody hearing me in the room or anywhere otherwise, if you trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved.
Yeah.
And so we ask that you give them faith. We know that faith comes, you said, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we pray you give the people hearing this message faith to believe it in order that they might be adopted into your family, that you will start that good work and that you will continue to perform it even until the return of Christ. Father, we bless you today. We give you praise. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus, your only son. It's in his name we pray, and the church said together,
amen.
Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see there are none, but yet there is room. If you're here today and you are looking for a church home, we want to invite you to come for that as well. We are here, and the Lord is doing some miraculous things. Amen. And we just thank him for what he's doing. Amen. We see some things going on, things on the horizon. God has set up a few things, and we're going to be watching those things unfold. Amen. So if you're here and you'd like to be a part of the force that is doing that, come and join with St. Timothy today.
Amen.
We give you that opportunity, and we will disciple you, amen, and teach you about the word. Amen. That's our highest privilege, is to be teachers of his word. Amen. We try to help you understand what the book says, what it means, and how to apply it to yourself. Amen. Amen. We've done as God commands. We hope you got a good word from the message today.